Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter, and welcome to Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good week. Pray that you are being the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, right? That's the whole purpose of us out in that world being His disciples, is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And I'm glad, so glad you guys are joining me tonight in this teaching, preaching series in Psalms. And I encourage you guys, we're in Psalm 2, continuing Psalms 2, and we'll be in verse 2 through 12. But last week we were in Psalm 2, and we didn't get very far. We got to verse 1. I encourage you guys to check that out. Also, you can go about 4 weeks, I believe, and you can find Psalm 1, and that was broken down into two parts. So I encourage you guys to check that out. So tonight we'll be in Psalms 2 again. And we're going to start, we're just going to read verse 2 through 12 and just see how far we get tonight. Pray that this is a blessing and a encouragement, and maybe you'll learn some stuff tonight, or maybe it'll motivate you or encourage you wherever you're at in your walk with God. So Psalms 2, 2 through 12. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in their derision. Then shall He speak to them in His wrath and vain, and vex them in His sore displease. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me, 'You are my Son, this day have I begotten you.' Ask of me, I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uppermost part of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with the fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be anger, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him." Guys, pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking You for the awesome opportunity, Lord, to go through the book of Psalms. Let us seek Your guidance and Your direction tonight, to give us the strength to learn more of Your word, that our life is just not silent, but loud. We are not made to hide in our corners. We are made to walk out into this world and be that light, be that disciple. We are not supposed to blend in. We are not supposed to conform to this world. We are supposed to be separate. Oh, how the church is not. Oh, how the people leave the church and their life just looks like that lost person. Lord, I pray that You rattle America churches. You rock them to their core. You shake them till they can't see straight. And those that are not committed, well, they will fall. And they will walk away, but they were never with us. They were never Yours from the beginning. Lord, I pray that people truly come to You, Lord. They truly come to the truth of the gospel. That they come to the truth that to be a disciple is to count the cost. is to deny ourselves daily and pick up our cross and follow you regardless what the cost may be. Let us pray for uncomfortable lives. Let us pray that wherever it takes to reach someone with the gospel, regardless of our life, it doesn't matter. Our life is not ours, it's yours. Oh, how we're comfortable. Oh, how we are lukewarm. We know you neither hot or cold. You will spit us. You will vomit us out of your mouth. And there's many in the church that are lukewarm. And they will be vomit. And they will go to hell. And they will burn forever and ever. Because they will not heed the message of your servants. It will view it as hate speech. And they will turn their ears from the truth. They will seek those out there that's massaging them ears, them itchy ears. They will not heed sound doctrine, but false lies. Lord, I pray you know those that are going through things tonight, the week, the year. You know where they're at in their life, and we pray over them that your will be done in each and every one of their lives. We know that you are in control regardless of the circumstance, and we know your will be done regardless. Even if it's not what we care for the outcome, you are in control. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Psalms 2. And as last week, I mentioned this is a psalm written by David. Of course, we know the true author of the whole Bible is God. That he moved in men to pen the words that we have in Scripture today. And as I covered last week in Psalms 2, I mentioned a guy, Stephen J. Coe, at the Bible Or. He states this, even though the world scene looks as if God has been on an extended vacation, David shows us that God's plan have not failed and shall not fail. Everything is under his ordained time. Thus, David appeals to the rebellious nations to come back before an almighty God, while they still have time. That is the deeper meaning of this Psalms. Man's rebellion. The world's rebellion against God. And if you look across the landscape today, you will see that. But it didn't happen all at one time. The devil operates with slow, steady chips. Chip a little bit of this away, chip a little bit of that away. Next thing you know, you're scratching your head, and now it's okay for two men to marry. And it's entering the churches as okay, and if you preach anything against it, it's considered hate speech. Didn't happen overnight. That movement was pushing before I was even born. You know, when we look at verse 2 through 3, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Anti-God. It's that really simple. Against God. These great rulers, these kings, they think they are the final authority. Our government think they are the final authority, right? The thing is they are not the final authority. Only God is the final authority. We are supposed to obey the rules of this world as long as they don't conflict with God. That puzzled me. That should be so simple, but it's not. When they tell us we're not supposed to worship in our churches, they don't have control over that. God has the final authority. We should still worship in our churches. In that last part of verse 2, you'll see that word anointed. In Hebrew, that means Messiah. It carries over to Greek, it means Christos. Christosis. And of course, in English, that is translated to Christ. So when we look at Acts 2 and look at that verse 2, when it says anointing, you can actually say Christ. Let's read that again. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against Christ. And they will look at Christ and they will say this, we have it. We will break their bands asunder and cast them their cords from us. We are in control. We don't care what Christ has for our life. We don't care what the Bible says because that is the inspired word of God. Acts 4, 26 through 27 is a reflection, a clear mirror of this psalm. It says, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child of Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Hera, Pontus, Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. And I know you're probably very familiar with the birth of Christ. We take as a nation, as Christmas is that time we take in America. I know that can be controversial, but when he was born. But that's supposed to be a point in time where we all together as one, as a nation, recognize the birth of Christ. Of course, that has the decline. And of course, we need to celebrate his birth every day. But when we look at his birth, Satan seek to kill him as a baby. And throughout his ministry, Satan sought to kill him. Of course, you got the cross, right? Satan thought he had the one up on Christ by influencing those to put Christ to death. Satan thought once again that he was accomplishing something. Those around thought they were in control of something. Reality is we're not in control of anything. Our God knows the beginning from the end. Nothing has taken him by surprise. They believe by putting Christ to death, it would stop all of this Jesus movement. But we can tell in Acts, it was just beginning. And it continues. And I've pointed out Genesis 3:15 before. That was one of the prophetic calling of the Messiah to fulfill at the crucifixion. See, Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. He had to be slain. His blood had to fall. Amen, right? His blood had to fall for atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. Verse 4 in Psalms 2 says this, he that sit in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. We cannot manipulate God. We cannot fool God. He knows everything about you, me, and us. He sees every thought that goes through our mind daily. He sees our heart and where it's at daily. We cannot outsmart God, although we think we can. Isaiah 55:8 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, says the Lord. His ways are so higher than ours. His thoughts are so beyond ours. If we would just turn our face back to the one true holy God within our government, with our business, with our schools, oh, how things would be different. But I believe we're too far from that. To be real tonight, all this faking will not do nothing for you. You can fake it to the very end. You can win an Oscar, a Grammy for your performance. But when that day comes and you're looking at God, that will melt. I once had a professor in college. He had this saying. And I was really running from God and really deep, dark in darkness. And I really enjoy this saying. He said, fake it until you make it. That is philosophy, right? That is the philosophy of this world. A lot of people are faking it. They pretend just on a business level that they know things, that they don't know nothing, and they want to fool people thinking they have skills. That's just on a physical, but spiritually, from a Christian point of view, you got those faking that they know God, but they truly have not experienced God and know His presence within their life, because if they did, there would be a fire, a passion burning in them. They have counted the cost. That cost is important. Do the math. There's a cost following Jesus. There's a cost being a disciple. We should be willing to surrender it all without hesitation. You know that word surrender? You will not hear that too many in too many sermons today in America because it's not popular. It don't sell. It doesn't bring the masses in, and with all the tithes and the money. And look at it, guys. Church is a big business. It is. It's sad. It's that way. It's a big business. You look at the mega church pastors bringing in millions. Surrender. You will rarely hear. And those churches are even will not. But surrender is very biblical. Matthew 16:14-26 says this. And said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny yourself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall it lose. For whosoever will save his life shall... I think I mistyped this one because I was typing it out. But, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what a man is to profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give to exchange for his soul? That's important, guys. To deny ourselves. See, we have a dual nature. We have a flesh and we have a spirit. And when we become a child of God, we don't lose that flesh. We still have to fight that flesh daily. We have to deny ourselves. Paul says he died daily. I could picture Paul getting up in the morning on his knees, crucifying his flesh with the Holy Spirit, saying, here I am, God, I know I'm not worthy. I am broken man. I need your presence today, because if I let my life, if I walk the way I want to walk, then I will not be that light that you need me to be. Oh, how I do that in the mornings too, because I know who I am. I'm nobody special. If it was in my hands, I would mess it up. My flesh would have the best of me. Right? In that scripture, Matthew 16:25 said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's important, right? For what is a man? The prophet. If he gain this whole world and loses his own soul, oh, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Here is one of the sad and ultimate problems of the churches here in America. He wants to have his fun with this world, and also wants to have fun with God. And this does not fly with God. You have to make a choice. You will commit your life to Jesus, or you will commit your life to this world, which is ran by Satan. So by default, you choose to commit your life to Satan. James 4:4 says this, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not the friendship of the world? Listen, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We cannot be friends with this world. It don't work. We may think it's working. In our perspective, all this working. But it just shows how foolish we are. This is not my opinion, guys. This is the Word of God. It tells us you have to make a choice. James used strong language here. He's adulterers and adulteress. Simply, if you're married and you sleep with someone that is not your wife or husband, that man is called an adulterer. And if it's a female, she is called adulteress. Jesus tells us, if we even look at another woman, and you can flip that around, if a woman looks at another man while married, we commit adultery. So when we look at this world and we want to be more with this world, we have committed adultery. We are adulterers. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for neither he will hate the one or love the other, else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some may believe that they're serving these two masters. Look, I'm accomplishing something. No, God's looking down and he's laughing at you. Not in a sense that he's making fun of you. He's saying, what are you doing? This is the Word of God. You cannot do that. Oh, I'm going to do it anyway. He will leave you to your own devices. Sad thing is, as you see this, I see those in the world who call themselves Christians, but they blend in right into this world. They're acting like this world. They're talking like this world. They look just like this world. After Sunday, they leave their Christianity at the door at that church. And not saying this to be mean, but because of my heart is grieved a lot of times when I see this. You can't tell them otherwise because they will not hear you. They will not hear your warnings. Breaks my heart. They will not hear that they don't need to compromise who they are. But when persecution comes, it will come, I promise you, to America. It will cripple America. It will be very easy for them to deny Christ, accept the mark of beast without blinking an eye. And no, I do not believe in the pre-trib. I love my brothers out there. They are, but they are living a lie. And they will find out. They're wrong. And that hurts my heart because the reality they will have to see at that point in time. They should be preparing themselves spiritually to endure a time that's going to rock us to our cores. But instead, they're living a fantasy of a getting escape out of this world when the tribulation hits. And we're getting close. They're playing around with this world. And they're letting the world come into the churches in America. It's here. You got to, in America, especially America, to be a good revival, you got to have some well-known speakers, right? Or probably getting paid way too much. And you got to have a few popular bands like Mercy Me and Casting Crowns. Don't get me wrong, I love Mercy Me and Casting Crowns. But they're treating church like a regular circular business opportunity to cash in on how many people, what can we attract to our church when it's supposed to be the Word of God should be the primary reason why someone should go to our church or come to a church for revival. The Word of God, the Scripture, the longing for that, all in, on fire, with a passion, right? To know more about God. With all the fancy entertainment. You see, a time is coming when all this circus will end. And many will fall away when the Antichrist, the one world government and one religion, sits up. They're going to be like, we were told we're going to escape. Look, there is the Antichrist. There's the one world. Here's the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell. He just got real. You know what? I didn't sign up for this. Give me the mark of the beast. They weren't prepared. Matthew 7, 22 through 23 said that this day will come. Many will say to me that, Jesus, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name? And your name had cast out demons. And your name done many wonderful works. And when will I will profess to them, that's Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I pray when that day comes, you do not fall in that category. We should be people who truly seek God with all our hearts through prayer, deep studying of the Word of God, fasting, praising, and worshiping God. We can't get enough of it. We'd rather do that than sit on the couch and watch TV. We'd rather do that than go out to a baseball game or watch a football game. We have a desire and a passion to study the Word of God like our life depends on it, because it does. And that we seek God through praise and worship. We seek God through deep prayer and fasting. Verse 5 through 6 in Psalm 2 says this. And then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my kings upon my holy hill Zion. Then he speaks. Who speaks? God speaks. And when he speaks, his voice is heard, I promise you. The world will find out soon that God is not playing around with this world. Those also professing to know God in their hearts are so far, he's not playing with you either. And those that are jumping up business for the church and doing these great things they think they're doing because of God, but their hearts are so far, he will say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. Yes, your ministry may have brought somebody to Christ, but your heart was nowhere near it. I will still accomplish my glory through your falsehood. But heaven you will not get. Hell is your reward. This world and all its knowledge, they believe they're far superior than our God. They have took God and the Holy Scriptures from our education system, from our government to our business. They reject God in this world. Why? Because Satan owns it. My heart breaks because when we warn, many don't listen. Reality, many will not finish this podcast. They don't want to hear it. Reality is God is coming back and he will judge this world. His end time wrath will rip this world apart. 2 Peter 3 verse 7 says this, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved to fire against the day of judgment, perdition of the of ungodly man. But behold, be not arrogant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, no should perish, but all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The elements of this world will melt. I'm a country boy. I used to love doing bonfires. And what a bonfire is basically you take stacks of wood, bushes, leaves, straw, kind of stack it up, and you just catch it on fire. Then over in the south, we have pine. If you have some pine, some lighter pine, that stuff burns all night. The more you throw on that fire, the higher the flames. And I could remember as a kid just sitting there watching the flames and just chilling. And that's just relaxing. And sometimes I would take a bottle and throw it in that fire. Or a plastic bottle. And when you put a plastic bottle in a fire, it melts slowly. Till there's nothing left. God will melt this world. Till all the elements are gone. And the catcher here, guys, is we do not have to perish with this world. God does not want nobody to perish. Because when the last days judgment fall, the only thing that will truly matter, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Have you truly committed your life to Jesus? To believe is to commit. Yes, we recognize Jesus is Son of God, right? John 3:16, very popular. We recognize the death, the crucifixion, the blood that was spilt for the atonement of our sins, Romans 5, sin, Romans 3:23, and Romans 6:23, right? For the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is everlasting life, right? Sin will lead to death. It was that death that was seen in the garden, and we went over that a few times already. But when you look at Genesis 1 through 3, and when you see that God created a perfect world, he called it good, and it was awesome. And he created, of course, the whole world. He created Adam and Eve. They were supposed to tend this garden, but there was a tree that was in the midst of the garden they were not supposed to eat the fruit of, for if they did, they would surely die, and that death was that physical death. See, they were supposed to live forever. They were not supposed to die. But we know that physical death leads to a spiritual death. Meaning, we all, unless the rapture occurs, we are all pointed to a time of death, a physical death. But we do not have to experience a spiritual death. No, we don't. We are given the opportunity to come to Christ. because of what was done at the cross. The blood that was spilt at the cross. And we know on that third day he rose, right? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 10. And there's many other verses in the Bible that will tell you that. He rose from the dead and he was seen by many, right? And he was with the disciples for 40 days. And then, of course, he ascended. He went up to heaven. But he did not leave us comfortless. He left us with the Holy Spirit. And see, that Holy Spirit is what comes into our life when we truly open our hearts to him. John 3, 1 through 10 speaks of the being born again, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. You are no longer the same. You are different. There's too many people now that are saying they are Christians, but their life has not changed. No, you have not. What this term we use, regeneration, meaning Paul would say you are no, if you don't regenerate, meaning there is not a change, nothing took place, then you have fooled yourself. You're not, you are still the old of the old. No, our old life is gone. We are new in Christ. Your life will be different. The Holy Spirit changes everything. Your life is no longer yours. It belongs to Jesus. That means you surrender all to him. All the plans of this life doesn't mean nothing. The primary purpose of this life is to point others to Jesus. The secondary is to live a life because we have to pay bills, right? And we have to eat. It's all part of the curse, but our primary purpose is within our sphere of influence, within our discipleshiping area where we can reach people with Christ. That is our primary. It could be working at Walmart as a stocker. It could be at the gas station pumping gas. It could be at your work doing construction around others around you. You may say, that's kind of weird. I don't want to do that. Well, you don't want to be with God, so. Oh, they may look at me weird. Oh, they may say things about me. So what if they say anything about you? They will talk, I promise you. They will hate you, I promise you. Because those are in this world or that are conformed to the Satan system will hate you every time. They shouldn't be loving on you. You should not be blending right in with them. Your light is supposed to shine. You're not supposed to conform to them. They're supposed to conform to you. Are they? There is a cost to be a child of God. I promise you. That will increase as time gets closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Suffering will increase. Persecution will increase. Pain will increase. But thank God, if we suffer for the name of Christ, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. That was, we'll probably stop there. That's Psalms 2, verse 2 through 6. And we'll pick up the last bit of this next week. I might preach just a salvation message next week. Because I really want to, or I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to drown, to pound salvation in before we continue on. Because I don't want anybody to be confused on what it means to be a child of God. A lot of half-truths out there. So what I want you to get tonight from this teaching and preaching, the world is against God. It is against the Holy Scripture of God, I promise you. It is. This world does not want you to have anything to do with you or your God. They don't want to have nothing to do with a holy and righteous God. It is anti-God of the Bible, right? From the government to the business system in the world. And I am not one of those preachers that is just stays in a church and is kind of like sheltered from the world. I work in a system, a business system. I can tell you, it's anti-God. It's anti-God. And there's demons within that system. I can feel them at my work. And they want to destroy me. And they want to destroy others around. But the thing is, they're just spinning their wheels. Instead of them saying, hey, how can I be saved? Oh, how can I learn more about the God of the Bible? No, they will turn their ears. They will hate you to the day till the Lord comes back. And they will be crying when He comes back. Because at that point in time, it's over. There will be no, I should have. No! At that point in time, as the days of Noah, when that rain came, it was over. When that ark door closed, God closed that door. You could just imagine when that rain was falling, it was flooding, and those people didn't have no dry land to grab on, and you could just imagine the claw marks of the ark. The crying, the wailing, let us in. No. I preached so many years, it laid to deaf ears. As the days of Noah, so will be the coming of our Jesus, right? From the government to the education to the business models of this world, they remove God out of pretty much all of them. They're left to their own devices, and these devices are satanic. They're driven by demons, destroy everything good in life. It's amazing. You look at a business model, and they're scratching their heads trying to figure out things and about communication, when the truth is in the Bible that if you want to increase your communication, you want to increase the performance, in the sense of the performance. It's all right there in the scripture, but they don't want to hear it. They could care less. The only thing truly good in this life is God, His grace and mercy that He provides for us every day, right? I love His grace. I love His mercy. It endures forever, right? It endures in this world when everybody is coming against you, right? As this world gets progressively worse, it will. We need to keep in mind, right? When all of this is falling apart, keep in mind that it's falling right in place when the one world government sits up, which is already sitting up, and the one world religion they're pushing toward, and when we're on the verge of a World War III, and you have the end time Antichrist and the mark of the beast, right? I don't believe this world has more than 20 years left in it. I just don't see it. You look at the climate, you look at the news, time is getting close. But we need to keep in mind, this is not taking God by surprise. He's looking down and He's saying, time is drawing near, my children. Time is drawing near. There is a payday. There is a wrath coming on this world. They thumb their nose up at me. They mock me who I am. But I am God. I am holy. I am Jehovah. Time is coming. This ungodliness, this unwickedness, it will end. There is no second chances when I come back. If you look at the churches in America, it breaks my heart. Because I know it breaks God's heart when they don't want to endure sound doctrine, but they prefer to hear fables, hear false lies, hear about comfortable lifestyles. They want to have a comfortable Christianity, a Christianity that doesn't cost them anything. They keep living in this world. They want to be part of this world and part of the church. And they keep professing a Jesus, but their heart is so far from Him. This type of Christianity is prevalent in America. It will not save you from the wrath to come. I pray if one person hears this message tonight and they wake up, thank God. Not because of me. I am a nobody. I'm a humble servant of God. Trying to warn as many as I will listen to come out of that false Christianity. To step into true Christianity. A Christianity that is not comfortable. Is uncomfortable. A Christianity that will that leaves you breaking and humble at the altar of the Lord with tears in your eyes. Your heart on the floor broken in 1,000 pieces for the lost. For those that you know are not preaching the truth. Not because you want to throw them out there. But of course you have to warn. But you want them to come to Christ. Because if they did, who else could come with them? A Christianity that seeks God. That seeks His holiness. That seeks His righteousness. A Christianity that is not okay with their sins. That they want complete surrender. They're not okay with being lukewarm. A Christianity that seeks a closer walk with God through praise and worship, to deep prayer hours, fasting, studying our Bibles. See, this Christianity will lead you straight into a walk with God. A walk that where you're walking more in the light, more in the Spirit. It will lead you straight to the arms of God. And when that wrath of God hits this world, He will protect us from it. I promise you. I pray that this message reaches whoever it will as you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the Spirit moving. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for coming to the cross. Nothing that He done, He was sinless. He was blameless. He had to suffer the things of the cross. The pain of the cross. The agony of the cross. Because of that atonement, the blood had to be shed so we can come where we're at tonight. We don't have to sacrifice a lot of animals. We don't have to do a ritual other than coming and laying it all out there. Committing completely. Surrendering it all. May not understand the true cost of it, but knowing whatever the cost is, I'm all in. Regardless of the pain and the suffering, I'm all in. Regardless how uncomfortable my life may be, I'm all in. That's part of it. That's part of being a child of God. That's left out of many messages today. We should pray to be uncomfortable. We should pray to seek that humble and that brokenness when we sin. That drives us straight to repentance and a deeper walk with God. We know when we look across the landscape of this world, especially here in America, it may take our breath away. But we have to understand, it may look like everything is falling apart, but it's falling right in place. It has not took you by surprise, God. You know the beginning to the end. It's all falling right in place. And we know that you will be coming soon. And we know we will go with you. That you have created us a place that we will have not to experience. Or you will create us a place where we will have no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, no more heartaches. As a child of God, That is our great hope. That's our blessed hope. But you have those who reject God to the very end, and they will not have no hope. Their destination is horrible. Lord, thank you for the message tonight. Lord, thank you for humbling my spirit before you, Lord. I pray whoever is out there that listens to this message, that it reaches their ears, goes through their hearts, it motivates, it encourages it. Wherever they're going through, they may not be hearing messages like this in the pulpit. And this, you know, it's only on podcasts. But Lord, I pray that it just reaches whoever it may. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. Once again, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, MeWe, Twitter. You can email me. Private message on Facebook, or you can email me through this website. Go straight to my website. A lot of stuff on Facebook. I am regulated. Facebook does block me often, but it's just what it is, censorship. Hope that you guys are having a wonderful night, and just hit me up on those social networks if you need to. Y'all have a good night.